Greetings to each one, and it's a blessing for me to be here with you all this morning. You know, why are we interested in missions, and why are we doing the things that we do? Why is it important? And I think it has a lot to do with the topic that I'd like to speak about this morning. First of all, I'd like to start by reading in John chapter 18. John chapter 18 and verse 33-38. This was when Jesus was before Pilate. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and said unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Years ago, I had a speaking assignment. And that evening, I was planning to speak on truth. And the Lord gave me an illustration that afternoon as I was studying. The place where we were, where my parents were, and I wasn't there living with them at the moment. I was in another state, and I was just back for a visit, and then the place where they were living didn't have much of a place to study. And so I decided I'm going to go out to one of my favorite places there in the area, which was a place there that had some high bluffs, and it overlooked down into a valley and a river there. And so I really liked the place. So anyway, I was going to go down there to study. But just a few minutes before I left, here the police and the rescue squad and the ambulances whizzed on past. And then a few minutes later, I got in the car and started down the way I was going. I was just about ready to turn into where I was wanting to go. And I saw up at the next corner all the lights and everything like that. I said, oh, well, let me check that out. You know, we're all curious. So I went up through there and didn't see much of anything. It was right on the corner, and there was a big gully there. But I did see the people were there looking down over the edge. Man, well, didn't see much of anything. Probably a vehicle went down over, and so I went on down just a little bit further down, and there was another road there that also had a little cul-de-sac, and there were no houses down there. So I went down there, parked there, and I said, well, I'll study right here. I wasn't there very long. And a police drove up. One of the ones that had been up at the scene there. And he said, yeah, we had there was a wreck up there, and the person who wrecked is no longer there. He said, if you see anything, just let me know. Okay. And I was probably there another half hour. And I look up. I was here sitting in the car. My window's rolled down. And I look up from my Bible, and here comes someone walking up towards me. So I really quick close the windows. Here was a man, blood from head to toe. He only had, I think he had shoes on, but he had a pair of shorts on. And he came up and he wanted me to take him. I left a little crack there in the window. And he wanted me to take him down to the next town. He wanted to go to his sister's place. And as I recall his story, he was out on a stroll, on a Sunday afternoon stroll. And he needed a ride back real bad. Well, you know, I sort of put two and two together, and I thought, well, this doesn't quite seem to be a nice Sunday afternoon stroll, not from the looks of him either. So I told him, well, I said, look, if you wait on me, I'll get you someone who can give you a ride. I didn't tell him where they were taking him, but I had an idea. He did need a ride. There was no question about it. He did need a ride. Just by the way he looked. So anyway, he's not interested in that. Well, I said, okay, that's fine. So I left him there. I left him there, and I went up the road, and I did get him a ride. I drove in behind there and just told the police officer what I'd seen there. And so they went down there and picked him up. As I was there, here one of my former schoolmates was there with the rescue squad, and so I asked him what happened. And here this man had stolen this Ford Bronco, and he was drunk to start with. He was very, very drunk, which I had seen that down with my interaction with him, because he'd tried to get me to take him down. He was all, you know, staggering around, and plus he had, on top of that, he had the thing he had to pay me was a knife. He said, here, I'll give you this knife if you take me. And I was, well, that was double reason for not opening my window at the moment. So, and my former schoolmate told me, he said, yeah, the fellow was running away from the police, came up to that corner, doing about 80 miles an hour in a Ford Bronco, went airborne, and hit a tree about 30 or 40 feet up, which swung him around, and the vehicle went into the bank, rear-end first into the bank, and then the man got out yet and took off. I mean, amazing. Amazing. The Lord gave him another chance. But I got to thinking about truth. You know, how did I know that the police wasn't lying? How did I know that what the man was saying was the truth? How did I know? And there's so many times when we are in situations like that. What is truth? Like Pilate. Pilate was talking to Jesus, and he said, what is truth? What really is truth? And yet I think Pilate did, from what I understand from what Pilate did here, he believed more in what Jesus said than what the Jews said. I think as he looked at what the Jews were saying and what Jesus was saying, Jesus' truth made more sense. It was an interesting thing that kept going through my mind as I was studying this. True truth . What's that? It's an oxymoron, you're right. But it sort of continued going through my mind. Does that exist? How? Because sometimes people's reality is truth to them, and yet it's not the truth. So how do we know the truth? Should I have believed the police officer? Or should I have believed a bloody drunk man? Who do you believe? And we're living in an age when there's so much stuff coming at us. What do I believe? How do I know what is the truth? And it's harder and harder to know what is truth. Just in this last week, I heard of someone that this is government level. They're talking about some of the new technologies that are coming in for faking videos and such like that. The technology has come to the point where they can make a deep fake that is very convincing. They can take a video, and if they have enough information with AI and machine learning, they can actually take you speaking and put somebody else's face on you, and so what you are saying because someone else saying, or even worse, someone else saying something and it's superimposing your face on it. And all of a sudden, here is video proof, right? That I said what I did not say. We've known of Photoshop for years and years, right? And I don't think I've ever done it for myself. But I've tweaked other people's face just a little bit, you know, take off some blemishes here and like that. It makes it look better. Totally possible. Very easy. Virtual reality. Alternative reality. Those are all actual realities today. And people are living these things to the point where they don't even know what is truth. They don't even know which end is up. It's just, it's that bad. And I do wonder, why do we have that much misinformation and so many fakes and so many things? And I had to think what it says there in John 8. And I think here's the root cause of it all. John 8, 43 through 45. It is Jesus speaking. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. right there is the reason. You know, the devil has been on a lying campaign and a misinformation campaign since the beginning of time. And that's what he's been doing. And it's interesting that when we believe an alternative reality, well, should I even use that? When we believe a lie, let's put it that way. When we believe a lie, it does become an alternative reality for us. That's for sure. And see, the devil really doesn't have to make us do anything. And the devil doesn't really have to... Yeah, he doesn't have to force us to do anything. All he needs to do is to get us to believe the lie. And then we will self-destruct. We will continue down that road. And we will walk away from God and from truth. So that's what we're up against. And lies promote bondage. They really do. Lies about ourselves. Lies about others. And their intentions. Lies about what actually happened. And you can have two different people experiencing the very same thing. And one will say this happened and the other one will say this happened. And it has to do with how we interpret the situation and what our reality is in our life. The scary thing about it is, even for myself, is that the Bible tells us that if we are living a lie, if we are deluded, it's because we want to be there. And people want to be misinformed. If you go to to 2 Timothy, chapter 4, and we'll read the first four verses. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That is the reality. And we can fall into that very same thing of wanting to believe the lie. Wanting to have something else other than the truth. Because many times the truth does hurt. And many times the truth is uncomfortable. Sometimes the truth about who I am is uncomfortable. But I need to face that reality so that I can also change. And to me, as I look at, like we were talking earlier about misinformation and all of those things, we're getting to the point of what I call the information dark ages. You know, we had a time that we call the dark ages where there was lack of information. But I think today we are so overwhelmed with information. And there is so much out there. And there is so much bombarding us. And so much coming on at us. That it has become an information dark age. And and with all these alternate realities, and with all these lies coming at us, sometimes we're just not sure what is true and what isn't. And I have seen things come back that in the last few years and gain a very strong foothold, including among some of our people. Things that have been debunked years ago. Flat Earth, for one. It's like, why would someone go back to believing that again? And it's interesting to note, the people that I have interacted with that believe in this, they have at least two things in common. One is they believe in conspiracy theories. Number two, they got their information from YouTube and from Facebook. Amazing. Amazing. And there's a brother that I've been trying to... He's on a journey. And I just... I've been trying to help him through his journey. And he's jumping on all the latest conspiracies, and he just I see by the stuff he talks about and that kind of stuff, I can see where he's going, and he's just like he's gonna come to the point, if the Lord doesn't get a hold of him, he's gonna come to the point where I fear he's gonna throw away all the teaching that he has had so far about the Bible, because he's finally not even going to believe that. Just because of the way he's going. And it's sad. It's sad to see people. And he told me he's in a Facebook group that is either 120 or 180,000 strong for the flat earth. And they're always posting about the latest thing and whatever. Some of the things he sends me is like, well, can't you see that? You know, if you really analyze it, look at it this way. But see, once you get yourself into that bubble, and once you believe the lie, it's the same way with people who believe in... Come on, my mind went blank. No. That's another one. Evolution, sorry. You know, once you believe the lie, the underlying lie, then you never come back and look at what now we have that supports that this is wrong. See, back when Darwin promoted some of the things that he did, with the information that they had there, it was plausible. There were some, he proposed some very plausible theories. But now, as we have better microscopes, and we start seeing how for this to turn into this, to turn into this, there is no way that that is possible. If you ever want to read a good book on that, there's a book called... Oh no! Oh dear! Now my mind went blank again. Darwin's Black Box. It's a very good book. The man is he's a microbiologist. He's from Pennsylvania, and he is not a creationist, which is amazing. And yet he shoots Darwin's theories all full of holes because of his work. He says there's no way. There is absolutely no way that you can believe in evolution. But who out there is going back to revisit the lie? And see, science has proven that we have a closer DNA match with chickens than with monkeys. Amazing. Yet nobody is looking for the missing link between the chicken and us. See, people are not revisiting the lie. It's in the same way that years ago, it was proposed that there is a gay gene. And this was theorized on, like, there were like three different scientific papers that they were sort of proposing that this might be it. And this might exist. Since then, those scientific papers have been disproven. But you go out there and talk to someone about having a same-sex attraction and stuff like that, invariably you're going to come up against this thing, that there is a gay gene. I'm sorry, that has been disproven by their own science. But people aren't willing to go back and revisit the lie. See, because if I revisit the lie, then I've got to change. If I actually look at creation, then I'm going to have to make changes in my thinking. Truth and lies. And we are also susceptible to believing the lies. We are. And the sooner I realize that, the better off I am. Going back to 2 Timothy 4. We see here that believing the truth is a choice. We don't have to have itching ears. We can want the truth. We can desire it if we want it. The interesting thing, that truth is not something subjective that we decide at random what it is. Truth is not subjective. Truth is truth. And I had told this brother that was speaking about. I told him, I said your own browser is duping you into thinking the way you are. Because even though you don't realize it, see, my browser doesn't pop up a bunch of stuff about flat earth and stuff like that. But his does. It's pretty much because of machine learning and stuff like that. That's what the internet is filled with for him. Because of what his browser is doing to him. I mean, he doesn't realize it. And he came back with me that maybe my browser is duping me into believing that the world is round. That right there is actually what got me to thinking about this. You know, how do I know that the truth is the truth? And how do I know what is truth? How do I know? Just for the record, I'm not much out there searching about either flat earth or round earth, and I'm not here to stand behind governments and all of that stuff either. Just simply because they are of the world. And I think the more we stay out of their stuff and their chaos, the better off we are. In fact, just this past week I read an article about people who went off of Facebook for a month. And in 1 month, their political polarizing views changed between a 5% and 10% just by not having Facebook 1 month. That tells you something about what continues. And I see people, even some of our people, involved in politics and, you know, the latest, hey, you know, this way or that. Come on. We are not of this world. Jesus said that, right? Jesus said, we are not of this world. If He were of this world, then what would happen? We would fight for Him, right? And it's amazing how many of our people I have talked with that talk about, you know, gun control and how that's not right and how the government is infringing on my rights and all of that stuff. So let's take that to the next step. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Oh, I'm non-resistant. Really? Are you? So why are you all involved emotionally in these things? See, there's so many different ways that we can get involved and not even realize what we're doing. And we start believing the lie, which then takes us to the difference. Another step then takes us on down the road. The more we stay out of it, the better off we are. John 14. And I'll just read the first 14 verses. Sorry, the first 18 verses. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Shew us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. See what truth does? See how it makes us change? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I'm the life. And that's exactly why our society is plunging into chaos. Because Jesus is the truth. And they aren't following Him. That's the bottom line. They are following the father of lies. And see, truth is thought of something malleable that can be reinvented and reimagined. That's what truth is thought of. Truth to them is very subjective. But truth is truth. See, as long as we think of truth as something out here, it's not really going to become a reality in our lives. But when we realize that Jesus is truth, that truth is a living, triune God, then all of a sudden, that changes our perspective. Because God is. God exists. And what did He say? Back in the Old Testament, He told Moses, I am. I am. And that's how He revealed Himself to the children of Israel. I am. I exist. I am the existing one. I just am. We don't understand Him. We don't see Him with our physical eyes. And yet, He is. And all of us who have allowed Him to put that spark of truth in us and have allowed His Spirit to transform us and to come into us and work in us daily, we know that He exists. See, the world doesn't know Him. And they say, we don't understand. Why don't they understand? Because they have not allowed Him into their hearts. And it's not because we are duped. Sometimes it would seem like the stuff that we do are fairly crazy compared to the world. And yet we're doing it because why? Because we have the truth. And because something has changed in our hearts and is continuing to change. Because that living triune God is in us. And as we allow that truth to change us, transform us, mold us every day, that makes a difference in how we're going to live. If we want to know more truth, just know God more. That's why we're not going to find truth on Facebook and on YouTube. We're going to find it on our knees and on reading the Bible and understanding who He is and allowing this to speak to us and transform us and change us. And as we have that relationship with the truth, then that will continue to change us. If you want a title for the message today, you can put down, I am the truth. See, because Jesus is truth. God's Word is truth. God is His own interpreter. of what is true. And he interprets that to us. And like we've seen, and also in John 16:13, it says, "Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth." And it's interesting how as we continue walking with the truth, we learn more. And he continues to explain to us. And it becomes more real in our hearts what we should be and how we should walk. And if God isn't real to us, if God is something out there, then it's time that we do something. And we allow him to change us and to transform us and really become real in our hearts. Then as we allow that to become real in our hearts, then our lives will change and we will walk this out. And that is why, like I asked before, you know, why are we interested in missions? It's because of the truth. Because we have the truth. It's sad to say the majority of people on the earth do not. That doesn't mean that we're proud or whatever. And I do see some religious people that do that because, you know, I've got the truth. Well, probably if I start saying, you know, I got the truth, I've got it down pat, I think that is probably an indication that I don't. Because truth is not something... truth is not something that moves. And yet it moves us and it transforms us. Truth is something that continues to work in us. And if I get to the point where I think that I have arrived in my Christian life, then I think I'm at the wrong place. Because truth continues to transform us. And until we fully become His image, then there will be no more need for transformation. And so truth, on one side, on one hand, doesn't move and is something that is not subjective. Yet at the same time, it does move us and it transforms us and it changes. You know, I find myself at a loss to even explain. I hope I'm not losing you all. But I find myself to where... how do you explain this? Well, you know, how do you explain God? We don't. And we're so limited in trying to understand these concepts just simply because God is God. He's way beyond who we are. And so here we are trying to understand the truth. And trying to live that truth. And trying to continue to promote that truth to others. Because the truth will set you free. He's the only one who can set us free. Let's pray. Father, again, we're just so awed by the many things that you have done in our lives. And we again acknowledge that we do not understand you. And therefore, we only understand a bit of truth.
a bit of who you are. Just that little bit of your greatness and your goodness. And Lord, even in the little bit though, we have experienced so much of your love. We have been blessed so much. We have been given so much. And yet even that we don't understand. We just thank you again for the way that you loved us. And that you became flesh to teach us what true love really is and what truth is and how truth walks out in a very practical way each day of our lives. Lord, help us to continue learning at your feet what truth is. Thank you again. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Timo. I have a lot of thoughts from the message. I really appreciated it a lot. Just the last point there, I was thinking how where he was talking about the truth being Jesus came to reveal the Father. He came to reveal him in a way that the world hadn't ever known him before. And Jesus said that back to John 8 that he talked about. It says, if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You continue in my word. And he says in John 17, Jesus said that I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. So the people that are, the people that are saved, the people that are born again are the ones that believe the truth of God's word. His word that he's given us. Jesus revealed the Father. I just really connected with the different scriptures that our brother shared with us, just how in John 14. I'll open it up for other comments. I'll just say this too, that Paul told Timothy to study to show yourself a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And, you know, we have the word in our language. We're one of the 683 language groups that have the word. And, you know, I just encourage all of us, but even our young men and our young ladies, study God's word. The word of God is truth. And how are we going to know God except for through His Word? Romans chapter 10. You know, how are they going to know unless they hear? And how are they going to be sent? And all of this. We can read it and we can study it in the Word. But then also we can experience the truth by having Christ in our life. We can experience the truth. The truth, Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. Thank you, brother, and really appreciate that. Anyone else for the Lawrence?
Yeah, I really appreciate the message on truth, Brother Timo. In your prayer, you prayed something about the practical outworking, something about the practical. There's something that's manifested when we believe truth. And, you know, this whole matter of truth, the very deception, it lies at the very core of what we believe in truth, because Jesus even said that because you love not the truth, because we love not the truth, we actually become to believe a lie. Because we don't love the truth, we open ourselves up for deception. It seems like wherever somebody has become deceived, I know of many that have grown up in our Anabaptist circles that have believed in the area of non-resistance, and today their children would have been part of the military today, and where they have not believed the truth of the Word of God, and today they have changed their mindset, and so it really does is at the core of deception and not believing but the truth. So I really appreciate you. The burden that you have for that. It is at the core of the missions, really is, because to get the truth out, that's the ABC you took this morning, to get the truth out. So, mm-hmm. Amen. Anyone else?
Hey, brother in the back there.
The things that Brother Timo preached this morning was things that have been on my mind for a few weeks. So it was inspiring to hear a lot of my thoughts preached this morning. Hmm. I actually had a couple notes that I had written that I want to read, but there was a video that I watched a while back, and it was of a man who was trying to ride a bicycle, and he had reversed the steering on the bicycle. So when you turn the handlebars left, the wheel went right. When you turn the handlebars right, the wheel went left. And he made this bicycle like an experiment for the brain to see what the mind could do. It took him, I believe it was 8 months, to learn to ride this bicycle. Hmm. And his son, who was, I'm not sure, 6 or 8 years old, I think it took him 2 weeks to learn to ride the same bicycle. Hmm. And showing that children's minds are more easily trained, more pliable. Then when after he rode this bicycle for a while, then he tried to ride a bicycle that was, regular bicycle. And he got on it and he wrecked. He couldn't ride it. He'd forgotten how to ride it. His mind wouldn't adjust back. It took him a while to adjust back, but it wasn't near as long as it took him to learn to ride it, the other one. And so my thought was to think that, you know, your mind is trained by what you put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Things of the world, and we have a solid reference point, which is the Word of God, and that's ultimately what we need to train our mind in the thinking of God's Word. So my note that I wrote here is, you can know you're right, yet you can be wrong, because you have the wrong point of reference, or you were trained wrong. The Word of God gives you a solid reference point and can straighten out your thinking. There are absolutes that defy time and culture and place. The anvil of God's Word wears out all the hammers. We need to have the mind of Christ, not the mind of the world.
Thank you. That's good. Anyone else? Your brother John there? Okay. Lyndon?
Yeah, I was glad to be here. The verse that just kept going through my mind was the verse in Romans 3 where it says, let God be truth and every man a liar. And, you know, there's always three ways to think about something. It's your way and my way and the right way. So, you know, we can keep that in mind. I was also inspired by Earl's enthusiasm there this morning, seeing mm-hmm. him in his zone. So that was a blessing, too.
Amen. It was.
Yeah, I was very blessed being here. You know, this
Brother Timo's focus is what is truth. And I just so appreciate how you said the Bible is what is truth. You know, the whole Word of God is totally true. You can go to a newspaper, probably half of it's false. You can go to Facebook, probably half of it's false. You can go to any news channel. You're not sure which side to believe. And that's what the world is filled with. It's confusion. But the Word of God is true. It's solid. It will endure forever. And it's such a blessing to know we have a foundation that 100% is true. We don't have to doubt any of it. And I just want to encourage us, you know, we want truth. Let's not go to the radio or some of those informations. Let's go to the Word of God. It will never let us down. It will be 100% true. And I just appreciate how Timo brought that out over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
The Word of God is true. It's not, some of these other things may have some truth in them, but it's not solid rock truth.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brother Earl.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Timo. I really appreciate it. What we heard this morning, I was thinking about the ills of humanity, the ills of society today. Is that not a result of rejecting truth? It really is. To think about that, you know, there's consequences when we reject God's truth. And, let's embrace the truth here at Joy. Let's go for it. Let's preach it. Let's shout it from the housetops. When we've removed truth from our lives, from our churches, from our neighborhoods, from our nation, then we have divorce, we have violence, we have crime. So, when we bind to the fact that we don't spank our children, produces rebels, it produces an undisciplined, violent society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we reject truth, there's results. But when we embrace truth, there's also results.
Amen.
And when we embrace it, praise God, it works. When we embrace, we love each other, we embrace that truth, there's results too. And when we care for one another, when we embrace the truth, it changes men's lives.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well said.
I just want to say that when I asked Brother Timo to come to preach this Sunday, he said, I was there already on the Mission Sunday. I did preach on missions. I said, well, I'm pretty sure what God is laying on his heart these days has to do with missions. So I think it's very true.
Okay, Sister Tammy.
Somebody sent me an audio clip of a Hutterite minister preaching earlier this week. And I was so gripped and grieved by his words. And he said that there's no other place under the sun where you can live and receive the forgiveness of sins like in the Hutterite colony. And how, you know, no matter what you do, just, you know, by attending church and by we have the Word of God, you can receive the forgiveness of sin. No other place in the world where you can get that. And he was so convinced in his own mind and preached it so convincingly. And I thought, here they even have the Word of God, and he is so utterly convinced of this falsehood and is preaching it in such an utterly convincing way to his congregation.
Hmm.
And it just grieved me so much that they even have the Bible where they could find out the truth, and they are still so deceived into believing they're the only people in the world who have the forgiveness of sins. I was just so grieved, and I just appreciated him lifting up the truth and how we can still, even a child can go to the Word of God and find out the truth about what God says and what the truth really is.
Mm-hmm.
I just praise him for that, and that he showed me the truth in the same setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Even in this audio thing that ABT did up, brings that out very well, because that's, you know, the Roman Catholic Church in those days were saying that that they were the only ones that could have, well, because it was in the Bible was written in Latin, and so they were the only ones. The common people didn't know the Bible. They didn't have the Bible in their language. And so it was And they could tell them all kinds of lies and do all kinds of stuff. And they didn't want the Bible to be brought into the common language so they could read it themselves. And what was it that Tyndale said, that the plowboy is going to know more than the king or something like that? I mean, it was just amazing, you know. I encourage you to come up and get one of those if you don't have one. Anyone else? All right. Well, it's been a rich morning, a good morning. Appreciate everyone who had part, all of us. So thank you for coming today. And we do have to be out of here in a little while. We still have plenty of time to put away the chairs and to visit some and that. Don't feel like we have to just go 100 miles an hour trying to get it all done. There's still, you know, 20 minutes or so. And so why don't we have a song? Do you have a song? Maybe you could even close us in a word of prayer. Would you do that?
Let's stand and sing number 585. Very simple song, but I thought it's very appropriate to what we've heard. You know, if we follow the path of Jesus and if we walk in His ways, we're going to walk in truth. We're going to know the truth. And if we cling